Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Power and Instrumentation Gujarat Limited Q3 and 9 months FY26 results conference call hosted by Kirin Advisors Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Karan Thakur. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, participants. I, on behalf of Kirin Advisors, is delighted to host Power and Instrumentation Gujarat Limited for the quarter 3 financial year 26 conference call. Today from we have Billai, Managing Director, Mr. Rohit Maheshwari, Chief Financial Officer. And without any further ado, I would like to hand over the call to Mr. Padmaraj Billai. Opening remark. Over to you, sir.
Greetings to all and a very good afternoon and a very warm welcome to all of you for joining us today for quarter 3 and 9-month FY26 earnings call of Power Instrumentation Gujarat Limited. I sincerely thank all our shareholders, analysts and stakeholders for taking the time to be with us today. Founded in 1975, we have built up a strong legacy as a leading EPC company specializing in comprehensive engineering procurement and construction solutions. Over the past 5 decades, we have developed deep expertise along the transmission and distribution spectrum, along with post-installation maintenance services. Our capabilities span the complete electrical ecosystem, from construction and maintenance of indoor and outdoor substations, laying of HTLT lines, providing alternate power backups through DGSets and UPS systems, power distribution panels, lighting solutions, fire safety systems, extra low voltage works, and building management systems. We have successfully completed over 35 airport projects, electrified more than 1 lakh below poverty line households, and laid over 20,000 kilometers of HTLT lines. Our repeat orders from industrial, commercial, and government clients stand testimony to our execution capabilities and commitment to quality and timely delivery. During this quarter, we secured a significant contract aggregating to 124.17 crores. This includes 102.78 crores turnkey electrical work from Ajmer Vidyut Vitran Nigam Limited across 9 circles in Rajasthan under the RDSS framework to be executed within 15 months. We've also received a 21.39 crore order from ATS Techno Limited for execution of an industrial project in Ahmedabad. A key milestone in this quarter was the CPRA approval received by our subsidiary, Peton Electrical Company Limited, for its 11 kV 3000 ampere segregated phase busbar system branded as FEBAR. Our busbar systems are designed for high load, high reliability environments such as data centers, IT parks, airports, metros, renewable energy installations, hospitals, manufacturing facility, commercial real estate, and large infrastructure projects. The FEBAR platform offers multiple advantages, including compact, space-saving design, efficient heat dissipation, lower voltage loss, quick installation scalability, and safe standardized certified components. With rising investments in infrastructure and digital economy projects, we believe this product line positions us well for the next phase of growth. On a consolidated basis of Q3 FY26, we reported a total income of 48.89 crores, reflecting a year-on-year growth of 43.18%. EBITDA stood at 6.16 crores, up 37.83% year-on-year, with an EBITDA margin of 12.6%. Net profit for the quarter was 3.57 crores, registering a growth of 11.96%, with a net profit margin of 7.31% and EPS of 1.69. For the 9 months ended FY26, the total income stood at 161.35 crores, registering a year-on-year growth of 39.23%. EBITDA was 17.68 crores, reflecting a growth of 24.86%, with an EBITDA margin of 10.96%. Net profit stood at 10.91 crores, up 21.85% year-on-year, with a net profit margin of 6.76% and EPS of 5.55. This performance reflects disciplined execution, operational efficiency, and prudent cost management across the projects. Looking beyond our own performance, the broader power and infrastructure sector continues to present strong structural opportunities. India has set an ambitious target of achieving 500 GW of renewable energy capacity by 2030, while the peak power demand is projected to cost 800 GW during the same period. This requires substantial investments in transmission, substation, and distribution network strengthening. Under the revamped distribution sector scheme, with a total outlay of over 300,000 crore, the government is accelerating smart metering, feeder segregation, and control and loss in AT&C losses. This directly aligns with our core strength in electrification and distribution infrastructure. On the infrastructure front, India plans to add 50 new airports over the next 5 years, with a long-term vision of developing 350 airports by 2047. Additionally, more than 1,000 km of metro rail projects have been approved across multiple cities, further driving the demand for electrical EPC execution and advanced power distribution systems. The continued CapEx push in transmission expansion, renewable integration, and urban infrastructure reinforces long-term growth visibility for companies like ours. Going forward, we remain focused on disciplined bidding, timely project execution, and improving operating efficiencies. We will continue to strengthen our order book quality while scaling our manufacturing capabilities under the FIBA brand. With a healthy order pipeline, strong sector tailwinds, and expanding technical capabilities, we remain confident in our growth trajectory and committed to delivering sustainable long-term value to our stakeholders. I'd like to thank all our employees, partners, and shareholders for their continued trust and support. With that, I now leave the floor open for any questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Daksh Sharma from Oaklane Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I just wanted to know, what is the current executable order book and how much of FY 2026 revenue is already secured from existing orders?
Yeah, good morning, Daksh. Daksh, as on date, we are sitting on an order book aggregating about 450 crore. What we are expecting, I mean, the growth is, as we are, you can see the last three quarters. I mean, we look at the last quarter also being in the same lines with it. I think we'll be able to close the year at very good figures, basically.
Okay. Sir, what would be the sector-wise breakup of these order books? Is it across airports, RDSS, electrification?
Yeah, so it's a mixed bag. It's a mixed bag. Mixed bag, out of which around 60% or 65% of the order book is with the RDSS and the distribution segment. Around the balance, 30%-35% would be coming from the infra space. That is industries, airports, and everything put together. I mean, it's a mixed bag of things right now.
Okay. Sir, what is our current bid pipeline and success rate in tender conversion?
The bidded tenders right now, I mean, already which have been bidded is around 200 crore plus, is around 200 crore plus. We are participating in another 200-250 crore of tender in this coming week. Hopefully, I think at the year end, we should have whatever the closing would be. I think we'll be at 1.5 or 2x of the closing of FY 2026. That would be our order book at the end of the year.
Okay. Also, sir, if you could just segregate in terms of government versus private, what proportion of our order book is?
Basically, yeah. Basically, right now, the entire order book is backed by the government only. right now. The private job is, I think, hardly about 2% or 3% of the total booking as on date. So the maximum order is directly from the government only, basically.
Okay. And sir, given that our average project execution timeline is around 12-15 months, so how should we expect revenue conversion to play out over the next  4-6 quarters?
So basically, I think all these projects are in the range of about 12 months to 24 months, not 15 months. So the largest size of RDSS projects, I mean, they are all piped between 15 to 24 months, basically. And as far as the execution part is concerned, as on date, I mean, the plan is to not take any extension or anything and just complete the jobs in the given time frame. So I think all this will be executed in the given time frame of the tenders or whatever is the tender time frame. So we'll be adhering by them. So I think we'll be having the revenues coming in, I mean, of all these projects in next 4 to 6 quarters.
And sir, lastly, sir, do you have some kind of visibility beyond FY27?
Obviously, this is a five-year plan that we've made for ourselves, wherein we are looking at to grow ourselves at the pace of about 30-35% year-on-year. That's what is our expectation. So I think that we've already will be achieving this year, and I think probably all the next coming 4 years, we'll be looking at the same.
Okay. Okay, sir. Thank you. That's it from my side. I'll join back with you if I have any more questions.
Yeah. Thank you, Sharma. Thank you. Thank you, Daksh. Thank you so much.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants to press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Dhanraj Tolani from Kuber Advisors. Please go ahead. Sir, you may unmute your lines.
Am I audible? Hello?
Yeah, you are audible.
You're audible. Okay. Sir, I just wanted to know, what is the current capacity utilization?
Current?
Capacity. And.
Capacity?
Yeah.
In terms of EPC?
I just wanted to know, what is the current execution capacity and what would be the peak revenue potential out of that?
See, the point is, in case when we're talking about capability, basically, see, as far as EPC business is concerned, there's something which comes into play is basically your bidding capacity. So right now, considering what we closed last year, we have enough bidding capacity left to, I mean, push our growth in terms of what we are targeting. I mean, year-on-year, 30-35% on, let's say, if things turn out to be the way the industry tailwind is blowing, I mean, let's say we can even do better. So, I mean, in terms of capacity and capability, that is how EPC would be judged as. So I don't see any issues in that. I mean, we have enough capacity, and we are already scaling up in terms of manpower also. So, I mean, that is the two key strengths that is required. So we are definitely planning the next 5 years.
Okay. So if I talk about, specifically, if I talk about the investment part, so how much is the have been made in manpower or technology or even project management system? What investment have been made?
So basically, EPC, the biggest investment that goes in definitely is into the manpower because you need a large team, and you also need a specialized technical team to execute these kind of projects. So basically, the major is definitely into that. Coming back to the tech part, obviously, as we are growing, as I had earlier also stated, we've also started using tools of importance like ERP project management tools and a little bit of AI here and there. I mean, so we're also trying to push ourselves to analyze, to make sure that there are no last-minute surprises and the project goes on, I mean, in the time span. So everything happened together. So this is the part where the entire investment goes into. In terms of, apart from that, whatever infrastructure upgradation in terms of part machineries and all of that, obviously, that keeps on going as and when required and as the project goes on. So that's how about it. It is.
So what is our expected payback period out of it?
Payback period?
Yeah.
No, I think EPC in terms of like, if you're talking about payback,
sorry to interrupt. So basically we are into the EPC segment wherein there is no capex involved as such with regards to the project, like generally what we have in terms of the manufacturing unit. As far as capex, you considered what we considered the capex as is the one is towards the issuance of the bank guarantees and another one is the working capital deployed for the project. So working capital deployed for the project is hardly for large projects, it is about 10-15% of the contract value. So, and at the same peak, we expect a PAT of 7-8%. So on an average, you consider in a 1.5 year or 2 years time, we get an average return of equivalent working capital deployed on the project.
Got it.
So the point, the payback which you are asking is mainly applicable for the places wherein you invest into a manufacturing plant and like 3 years, 4 years or 5 years is your timeline by which you will get your plant free from the revenues.
For the like payment cycle differs between the government and private sector clients?
Yes, sir, definitely. For a private, it may differ sometime. For government, it may differ. But on an average, we try to keep the receivables in between the days of 90 to 100 days.
Okay. And also, I was looking at the financial part. So I just wanted to know, like, gradually the other income part is growing. So I just wanted to know this, like, where this part is coming from. Like, can you explain this term?
Sorry, sir?
FY25, it was 2.43 crores. And in FY23, it was, like, other income was 1 crore. So it has grown.
The main reason for other incomes are, first is the interest income on the fixed deposits that we keep with the bank for the issuance of bank guarantees. The another incomes include that other income is the we won the arbitration award last year wherein we realized some other income in terms of the delayed payment interest. And over and above that, other income we recognize as a royalty income wherein we get wherein we have certain contracts on royalty basis. So we get royalty on those orders.
Got it. And what is the current working capital cycle? And how do you, like, if
current working capital cycle is about 100 days, 95 to 100 days.
So are we planning to reduce the receivable days further?
Yes, sir. If you see on year-to-year basis, we are improving and we are trying to keep it below 90 or up to 90 days.
Okay. That's all from my side.
Thank you. Participants may press star and 1 to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Vidhi Jain from Phoenix Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah, please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Actually, I just wanted to understand a bit more about the bus duct and manufacturing business. Like, how do you see this segment becoming over the next 3 to 5 years in terms of revenue contribution?
Yeah, so basically, when I talk about the manufacturing unit that we have recently acquired, so basically the company is into manufacturing of low voltage and high voltage panels and cable trays and a lot of electrical products along the line. And recently, they have also added the bus duct to the thing, out of which, the entire range consists of 33 to 415 volt bus duct, out of which the 11 kV bus ducts have already been tested and successfully, and the product has also been launched. And now parallelly, we are also working on the low voltage bus ducts, which I think should go into testing somewhere in the month of end of March or something around. And I think the full scale production should be starting somewhere by May 26th. So that is what the target is. And the contribution that would come from that would be in the range of about presumably, the first year we would be targeting
FY 2026-27, we will be probably targeting around at least bare minimum 20% of the current top lines, you know. So I think, and then year on year we keep on adding it. If I would put it in terms, there's going to be, by maybe in 2 years' time, a major contribution coming in from the manufacturing side also.
Okay, and how would you position products against some of the established players in this segment and in terms of technology, pricing, and quality?
Yeah, so the point is, if I'm putting myself against the players who are already established here, I would look at myself in a very comfortable position because we've been dealing with this product from 2001. In fact, from the time this product had been launched in this country by a few manufacturers. It was just that, only about a year and a half, 2 years back, due to major overhauling of the infrastructure, that this product has been made mandatory. And so that is where we also thought about getting into this product. It took us almost like about 3 years of hardcore R&D. And what we've developed is a very beautiful piece of equipment in terms of aesthetics, in terms of costing. And we had to actually, redesign the stuff because the earlier version that we worked out was turning out to be a little expensive as compared to the current market requirement. So we have two versions available right now. One is the economically friendly and the other is technically a much superior product. So it depends upon the client choice which it wants to select. But we'll be placing ourselves very strongly against both the sides, in terms of economy also and in terms of the technicality also.
And finally, what kind of capacity expansion or capex would be required to scale up this business?
So there is an investment that has already been planned and already being executed, which is some specialized machinery that is required for automation. So that has already been planned, and the orders have also been placed. So we would be looking at getting the delivery somewhere in end of April or early March. So that is already being done. The planning has already been taken.
Thank you, sir. That's all from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pooja Mishra from JK Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, Pooja, please tell me.
My first question is how much revenue comes from the government infrastructure work?
See, whatever we are doing is all a part of the government infrastructure, basically. You can only segment it by saying that what comes from the distribution segment and what comes from the building infra like metros and the airports and the other possible infra projects. So I would put it this way, as I said, 65% would be coming from the distribution transmission segment and 35% would be from the infra and other spaces.
Okay. And how much incremental opportunity do you see from RDSS and IPDS and airport electrification program?
I would put it right now that I think for next 2 decades, there is no stopping this industry. I'm not even saying 1 decade. I'm in fact saying 2 decades to be very clear that the way things have been moving and the kind of investments that have been coming into this country and the way the requirement of the complete infra space that is being developed to get India into the league of the 10 trillion or 15 trillion. Size of GDP. It just depends upon how much growth you can sustain or, how much it can be organically grown. There is nothing, no dearth of orders or there is no dearth of the new projects that are there. And I think that will continue for next at least 2 decades.
Okay. And what role will renewable energy or electrification play in our future growth?
So basically, see, renewal is just adding up to the capacity of the production of generation of the electricity. As we are ramping up the generation part, it is very automatic that once you're producing something, you will need the transmission and the distribution both to come in lines, because if you generate and if you don't have a transmission and distribution network ready, there's no use of that. It's gonna all be go wastage. That way, if you say that, definitely the renewable is going to contribute a lot because of the generation. Alternatively, as we are ramping up, I think even the nuclear capacities are being expanded, even the thermal capacities are being expanded. I think all this thing put together, that's what I said. Two decades of work right in front of us, and I think year-on-year we'll see a good growth in this entire market.
Okay. Sir, what are the key growth drivers for the next 3 to 5 years?
The key growth drivers for this industry, as we put it, is because the first thing is that there will be a lot of investment. There will be a lot of investment in terms of the high-speed rails, that you will see a lot of expansion that is happening, the metros that is happening, the urban development that is happening. Because more and more rural, more and more semi-rural is being now converted into semi-urban, and semi-urban becoming urban. If you see the cities which we used to call second-tier cities are now becoming the first-tier cities. The first-tier cities are moving into the metro status. With this kind of thing that is happening, the population increase, the people moving, the shift, AI making a big play, the world looking towards India as the next hub for manufacturing, with data centers. The list is endless. With all of this going on, I think we are at the right position to encash on this whole spectrum of things that's happening.
Okay. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one. A reminder to all participants to press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Yash Rathore from Unique Solutions. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Am I audible?
Yeah, please.
Okay. My question was, what are the key risks in executing the current order book?
Could you repeat your question, please?
My question was, what are the key risks in executing the current order book?
I don't see as such there is any risk involved as far as the execution part is concerned. The reason being that, if you talk about the instability in the market and in the global market, I think India is in quite in a stable position right now. As far as the factor is concerned, I think we can just on that factor because, the things have been planned or the way things are happening, I don't see any risk except for that portion is that definitely there is a kind of what do you call it? A dearth of the number of technical people or the sudden scale-up that has happened in the market has actually created a little bit of a shortage of the manpower kind of a position. I think that would be probably addressed very soon. With the kind of people getting back into the core engineering and things happening now. I think apart from that, I don't see any risk happening.
Okay. The other question I wanted to ask was, how do you plan to fund the expansion, like in debt or in equity?
Basically, as on date, what we are doing is we are working on with the internal accruals itself, and probably if required, we'll be going for some debt or something, to bridge fund it for the time being. If that is required, and that also on the project-to-project basis. Not exactly, a long-term debt planning, but it will probably, a project finance or something in case the internal accruals falls short or something like that. Otherwise, right now the entire plan is based on the internal accruals itself.
Okay. So that was it from my side. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Paras Chheda from Perpetuum Vortex Ventures, LLP. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for this opportunity, sir. Sir, first thing, what is the revenue guidance for FY27 in general and 26, what likely growth is expected?
So as I said earlier also and today also, we are targeting a growth of about 30 to 35% year on year. That's the target for next 5 years. And considering the current market position and considering the jobs available, I think it is quite achievable. And I think we should be able to do it. I mean, so that's what is the planning actually.
Okay, so sir, I mean, if you're looking at, let's say, that kind of growth for FY27, what do you expect in terms of working capital or debt levels for the next year? I mean, can we manage it internally?
Yeah, that's what is right now, to manage it internally with the internal accruals that we have or what we are anticipating. And also, if required, we will be going for some debt, which would be a bridge funding, and that would be based on the project, for a particular project. So the debt would be opened with the project and closed with the project instead of taking long term or something like that. So in coming future, what we're planning is that even if the debt is being raised, that would be, I mean, like, you know, limited to the project that is going where the funding is going to happen. Or otherwise, till the time we can manage it. Huh.
Yeah, so most likely there will, at the moment, at least as it stands, there is no plan for equity dilution for FY27.
No, not at all.
Understood. Sir, what kind of sustainable EBITDA margins would you put for FY27? And you know, going forward?
I think EBITDA margins should be anywhere between 12 to 14-15% would be what we are looking at.
Right. But for December specifically, at least the last quarter, it's been south of 12. And
yeah.
You know, the PAT margins, of course, also because the interest has suffered. So how do you look at that, sir?
Yeah, so that's what I said. The PAT margins also we are looking at, pushing it. We're making all our efforts that maybe another year or two we'll be pushing it to maybe 9-10% as the PAT margin and EBITDA about 15%. So that is what we are all working towards. I mean, so how fast we can execute the project, get the turnaround, reduce the outstanding time periods, you know, and like, you know, get a better rotation out of the funding that we have or the internal accruals that we have. So that's what the plan is all about.
Right. So at least for the, and that may be a medium term plan, but for an immediate FY27, most likely 12-13% is what realistically we can achieve.
Yeah. That is definite.
Right. Okay, sir. And just one more thing on this, bus truck manufacturing systems. When do you expect, this product line to start meaningfully contributing in terms of revenue?
Maybe after the second half of FY 2026-27. Maybe the third quarter.
Okay, third quarter. And I mean, in general, you know, when it, you know, scales up, I mean, what kind of revenue share do you expect out of this division?
So, I think we would be looking on at least getting in the, once we start the productions, are we looking at full-fledged in a single year, at least 20-25% coming in from the manufacturing unit?
Okay. And what kind of EBITDA margins will you have on that?
I think should be better. So let's keep something for tomorrow.
Right, sir. Okay. No problem, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sakshi Shinde from Shah Consultancy. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir.
Yeah, please go ahead.
I have a couple of questions. So my first question is, have you faced any delay in government tender approvals or receivables?
No, I think all of these projects are fast-track projects. So, I mean, in terms of approval or I mean, the award, I have not seen any much delay in the current times, because there's a lot of thrust from the central government itself in push, because all these projects are funded by the central government. So a lot of push from the central government to execute the projects on time.
What is your positioning in upcoming electrification modification projects?
We have quite a strong position right now, because we have a good order book already in line. We have our credentials in order. And so I think we position ourselves in quite a good place. So in coming times, I think both of it will be taken care of. So.
Okay. And... So, what supply chain challenges are you currently facing?
As on date, it has not started, but we do anticipate in coming times with the kind of, but then I think all the manufacturers, everybody is also, I mean, anticipating that, so everybody is going in for expansion. So, I think parallelly things should work out. I mean, like, you know, it's just there was a little bit of correction that happened in the last quarter end. I mean, in terms of, you know, the prices of copper and aluminum going up, and all our projects are PV backed, they have price variation, so the impact is not directly on us. So that way it is safe and taken care of.
My last question is, how do you manage client concentration risk?
How do you manage?
Client concentration risk.
So basically, I mean, if you would have noticed that we've been working pan-India basically. So, I mean, like, you know, we don't restrict ourselves to a set of geographical areas. So that way we are very open towards the execution skills that we've got. So because of that, I mean, like, but otherwise, if you, the other side of it, the good part is that, yes, the client retention has almost been 80%, 85% plus. So most of the clients that we've been working with for last a decade or more, I mean, we've been continuously getting orders from them also. So it's just that we're keeping on adding new and then, I mean, retaining the old clients.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vaibhav Mishra from Finvestors. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Congratulations for the numbers. Sir, my question is regarding the cash flow. Do we expect to be cash flow positive by the year end, FY 26 and beyond? I mean, some color on the cash flow, operating cash flow.
Yeah, I'll let Rohit speak on this. Rohit, can you just take over, please?
Yeah. Sir, so if you can see the FY25 and the first half of FY26, FY25, the operating cash flow were negative and the H1 26 was on a positive side. So we are trying our level best to keep on the same track only. So going forward also, we are expecting the cash flow from operations to be on a positive side only.
All right, sir. And sir, another question is regarding the, order book. If you see the billing is only just 200 crore in the PPT, you have mentioned also in the call. So is there any, problem in the bidding? Because what I see is bidding pipeline is a bit small. And what kind of order book, can we expect the order book, closing order book of FY26 to be around 500 crores, what kind of a number?
See, the point is already, the point in EPC is that you have to ensure the execution of the project. I mean, the booking of the project is equally important, but the major concentration goes on completing the job. Now, if you have jobs in hand, you know, and if you take more jobs, because the time frame for the jobs remain the same. And considering the current scenario, as I was just saying, I mean, like, you know, there is definitely a little bit of things that have... taken the market into the toll because of the aluminium and the copper prices, and also, I mean, like, so much of infra projects going on. So the expansion of the manufacturers is also going on parallelly. So, you know, we are taking all that into consideration. So the 200-250 crores order has already been bidded, and we are bidding another 200-250 crores in next couple of days. So the bidding pipeline would go up to about 500 crore, and see how much we can bag. But one thing is very clear that we'll be looking at closing this year with at least 1.5x of the revenue of this year to 2x of the revenue of this year as the order booking in hand as we move into the next financial year. So that's what is the target going to be.
Okay, okay, sir. And sir, these orders that we have and we are bidding, are these fixed price orders or the price variation?
All with, no, they are all with price. They are all with price variation.
Okay, okay. That's good. That's good. And sir, one last question, sir, regarding the conference call. In the last quarter, I think we did not have the conference call. So going ahead, can we expect conference calls after every quarter results or this will be like on-off kind of a thing?
No, I think we had a conference call for the last quarter also, definitely. We've been maintaining the complete transparency. I mean, like, you know, in fact, we're having investors calls also, everything. I mean, once a month we have investors calls also probably. I think we'll put you on the list and we'll make sure that you're updated every time.
All right. Okay. Thank you so much, sir, and all the best for the future quarters.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anboli, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
Sir, just I want to know, are we into BESS projects?
Are we into?
BESS projects.
BESS? What is BESS?
BESS.
Pardon me, your voice is cracking.
For the participant has dropped, we move on to the next participant. The next question is from the line of Aman, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
So I wanted to know, in the con call of August, we were targeting a revenue of more than 50%, and in this call, it has dropped down to 30 to 35% revenue guidance.
No, I mean, what? No. What I said was, somebody asked me, what is a five-year plan? So I said the five-year plan in totality is to grow at the rate of average rate of 35%. That is what I meant. So this year what we are closing at, I mean, like, you know, let's wait for the numbers.
Okay. And also I wanted to know, we are into RDSS, aviation infrastructure, feeder, EHV space. Are we also going into the BESS, BESS sector as well?
Yeah, so we have been trying to back contracts for the EPC of the BESS also, because that is also going to be a part of the upcoming infra requirement. We definitely have quoted a couple of tenders under the EPC mode, because majorly all the tenders which are right now being floated by the government are kind of in the PPA mode of the build, operate, transfer modes, wherein, you know, the capex is involved. The capex would be done by the bidder itself. So what we are doing right now is we are supporting those bidders and probably wanting to take up the EPC for them on their behalf, you know, because these are basically investment companies. So we've been talking to a couple of them. We have submitted our bids. Let's see what happens.
Also, we are targeting a revenue of more than 30-35% as you just quoted out. So how are we going to achieve that? What steps are we taking that we are going to improve our revenues going forward?
So basically, as I told you earlier also, I mean, last time also and a couple of times before also, I think the major revamping that has to be done for any EPC company when it comes into scaling is the hiring of manpower and, you know, getting the right people on board. So we have been concentrating on that and Nachal has been doing a wonderful job. So, I mean, we definitely are gearing up as we grow. So that's how it is. I mean, like, major thing involves the manpower revamping and also, you know, getting technology into play, using it to your advantage as to what tools are available in the market. So both ways, we've been working very hard towards it.
Okay, thank you. All the best for your future.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and 1. The next question is from the line of Paras Chadha from Purblown Vertex Ventures LLP. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you so much, sir. Sir, what are our current receivable days on an average? And, do you expect them to be stable in the next year, FY 2027 also?
Yeah, I think the current is about, as I said, 90 to 100 days is what the current this thing is, and we are trying to reduce that number. Maybe how much we can improve. How much we can improve is what is going on right now. I think because these are all government, central government funded projects, so we do not see much of an this thing unless mentally, you know, something goes wrong with the economy or something on an overall all basis is a different story. That we don't see because there's a lot of global thrust that's happening and people and the countries looking up to India as the next technology partner or the next, you know, thing. So it's quite hopeful. I mean, I think things should be in good shape as it is going on right now.
Right, sir. And sir, so one is, you know, you mentioned that probably you're looking at 30-35% of growth for FY27, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, this year also, of course, for the first 9 months, we grew on revenue and EBITDA PAT. But like we said, and, you know, you did point out that the idea is to then take net profit margin to somewhere around 10 percentage point, you know, in that region. Now, how do you ensure that? Because, so what are the steps that, you know, you're targeting or looking, which probably can help you improve upon your profit margins, given that we are now scaling as well?
Yeah, so basically what we are trying to do is we are trying to target on, you know, specific kind of areas, zones, kind of projects that, you know, and the expertise that we've got, I mean, like, you know, and utilize them as tools to, you know, make sure that, you know, with the top line, even the bottom line improves. So I think considering the current scenario or considering the current position of the market, I think in coming times things should be looking much better. So that's why I said that, you know, we think we will be able to contribute a little more towards the EBITDA as well as the PAT.
Right. So right now, let's say we are somewhere for the first 9 months, at least about 7-odd% on net profit.
Yeah, 7-odd%. We are at 7-odd%.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So for FY27, do you expect it to be stable or improve slightly or probably?
I would say that it's definitely going to remain stable. That is, there is no doubt about being stable. How much can we improve would just depend upon the kind of projects and, you know, like the kind of execution, you know, how things would work out to be. Because as I told you, like last quarter, for example, you know, there were times when there was a little bit of material shortage because of, you know, the heavy rising in the metal and everything. So, you know, considering all that equations, you know, but I think in coming times with a lot of manufacturers, everybody's gone for expansion, considering, and they're all seeing that, you know, what, as I say, being optimistic, that 2 decades of work still, you know, I mean, it'll be, I mean, minimum, that's a minimum time frame that I talk about. So I think all of the manufacturers also gearing up accordingly.
Right. So just last 2 queries, man. So basically this net profit margin is a function of your, I mean, of course it's a function of both, but just more sensitive to your interest rate or EBITDA margins, where can you sort of improve upon for improving this net profit margin specifically? I mean, probably in terms of weightage.
No. In terms of, like, you know, the size of the project also, the kind of the project also, see, if we get projects with more technical involvement, I mean, you know, the number of competitors go down. Like, you know, in case if we are getting some design-based tenders where we can optimize on design and, you know, get better results out of with our experience and with our thing. So, you know, that is, I mean, interest remains a constant component, so I don't see much of shrinkage happening there. It is only by improving on your total revenues and, you know, cutting down on the cost, I mean, factor, I mean, using your expertise. I mean, that is what...
So the EBITDA margin is where you can probably apply the maximum effort.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right, sir. And, you know, as some participant, you know, one of those guys mentioned, you know, that our current bid pipeline is funded, and you said that, you know, at the moment, you digest what you have, right?
Mm.
I mean, but are you sort of at all worried in terms of, because as you just mentioned, that to improve upon EBITDA margins, we're looking for specifically decent projects with, you know, relatively higher margins for us. So
yeah,
are you worried that,
for
the next 30-35% growth, at some point you'll have to start again, you know, bidding, probably, and bidding and winning better, like?
See, the point is, right now, I think, I mean, if you would look at the overall industry tailwind, and if you look at the total kind of scenario for last couple of years, I mean, and the same has been reciprocated this year in terms of the budget also. I mean, the infra spending has been increased by another 1 lakh crore this year. So, I mean, I don't think that order booking or order pipeline is going to be an issue. It is just that what do you want to target, where do you want to place yourself? I mean, what chunk of business you want to get out of that? I mean, it all depends upon what is going on currently. I mean, as far as the company strategy is concerned. So I don't have any fears or any doubt. I mean, it's going to be overall a coming time is going to be good.
Right. So in terms of even better margin projects specifically, rather than general demand per se, but slightly better margin projects, you would probably be able to.
Everybody would love better margins. It all depends upon the complete industrial scenario, because as on date, as you see, everybody's got their hands full. So probably everybody tries to improve. So overall, I mean, you'll see the strengthening of the. That's what I'm anticipating. That's what I'm anticipating. Now let's see how it works out to be. I mean, another 6 months we'll be able to, have a more clear picture of the thing,
Yeah, but at least worst comes to worst, this current EBITDA margin is broadly sustainable.
This has been stable all the while, and I think this is particularly, I mean, like, you know, I think the range which has been there is 5% to 6% to 10% has been industry standard, so that definitely will remain. It's just we are being a little more hopeful that, things should be improving considering the kind of volumes that's being generated,
Right, sir. And so just last experiment in terms of the metal prices that have gone up, etc. So, in that light, do you expect your manufacturing, bus duct systems, whenever it comes up, to be able to manage decent margins on that, economics on that?
The point is that when you come back to the manufacturing, or whether come back to the EPC part of it, see, when the rates are basically being quoted, these things are being considered, and the moment that the order is closed, also, I mean, like, there is a price variation clause which is there in all the orders, basically. So we have a formula. Yeah, there is a price variation there, which is governed by the IEEMA, which is the Indian Electrical and Electronic Manufacturing Association, which, publishes the indexes every month, basically. And if there is a volatility, it publishes also three times a month. So based on that, the time of the delivery, I mean, just before the inspection call is given, that is taken into consideration, and the price variation is paid by the client.
Right. So for the EPC, broadly, you're saying that it's more or less sort of a pass-through. But in terms of manufacturing.
Yeah, it's for the manufacturing also. It's for the manufacturing also.
Okay. Even for bus duct systems, similar.
Definitely. All the larger companies who we are going to compete with, they all have their PP clause in existence. If it's a large order, see, if it's a small order, it's a different story. If it's a large order, then nobody executes it without the PV. Because even the client looks at it from that angle, because see, it's both ways. You look at aluminum trading at about $2,400, and then, I mean, like, couple of months by the time you take the delivery, if it comes to $2,100 or $2,200, I mean, like, the client also needs to take that advantage. So the client is also very clear with, if the larger size of order, the PV is applicable.
Right. So it's both ways. And I mean, is it just too early to talk about economics on the bus duct system? I mean, broadly, at least a double-digit EBITDA or 15-20% EBITDA can be expected on that, or is it too early to discuss that?
I would contemplate that factor, what you're saying. I would also be looking at that. But let's say it's too early, because once we come into play, I mean, and what is the growth scenario, what is the requirements, I mean, how it is going to happen, Right now, though, obviously, there's a lot of shorting going on. So let's see.
Fair enough, sir. And would you mind, including me also on the, list, if you can, please, in terms of monthly or some,
Sure. Yeah, sure. 100%. I'll ask Kiran to put you on the list.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we take that as the last question of the day. And now I would like to hand the conference over to Mr. Karan Thakur for closing comments.
Thank you, everyone, for joining the conference call of Power and Instrumentation Gujarat Limited. If you have any further queries, you can write us at research@kirinadvisors.com. Once again, thank you, everyone, for joining the conference.
I thank everyone for joining us, and hopefully we'll be talking to each other very soon. And I think all of you can be with us. Trust me, it's going to be a beautiful times to come for the sector. And please remain invested, and please be with us. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Om Namah Shivaya. Thank you so much.
On behalf of Kirin Devices Private Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.